We've been preaching on this series called The Middle. How many of you guys have enjoyed it? Man, I've heard so many testimonies of God doing some incredible things in people's lives and just really rearranging people's mindsets and just giving us the faith that if we're in the middle, to continue to stand fast. Amen? How many of you know it's important if you're in the middle to stand fast? Because to this shall to pass. It's going to pass. You're going to get through your middle into your to your next stage of purpose and destiny. Amen. How many of you know all you pregnant women in here, when you're, you know, going through that middle stage of like, you know, you're just ready by the end of that, but there's an end time. You're gonna birth that baby. Can all the pregnant women say amen? Right? There's this stage where it's uncomfortable and it's like, I hate that. But there's something coming, church. And I wanted to just kind of segue into just a kind of a mini-series for maybe the next 2 weeks. So this morning I want to kick it off and I want to share something that's been on my heart for probably maybe 3 to 4 months is when I kind of started writing this down and beginning to process this. And I didn't know it would kind of segue in with this one, but I believe that the Lord has impressed on my heart to release it this morning. And so, if you would, mark your Bibles. We're going to start in Acts chapter 19, but I want to read another verse before we get to that one, just to kind of set the text and the context of where we're going. And we're going to be talking about Paul this morning. How many of you know who Paul is? Paul in the Bible. If you haven't seen The Apostle of Paul, it's out on DVD. I would strongly recommend you get it. It's unbelievable. It just really, really inspires and builds your faith for what the church really was birthed from and what the church should still be like today. Amen? That the church should still be about community, should still be about rescuing people out of darkness into light. Amen? It should still be about us not wavering our faith regardless of what we're going through. Amen? Some of that good stuff. Some of that old school church stuff that we need. Amen? Well, I'm going to read in 2 Timothy chapter 4 is where we're going to kick off this series. This is Paul talking to Timothy, his spiritual son, and he's letting him know where he's at in his life, and he's just encouraging Timothy. How many of you know that we need encouragement sometimes? And if you've been in your middle, I pray that this would be something that can encourage you to help you get through that season that you're in. And Paul is here, he's encouraging Timothy. And this is what he says. He tells Timothy, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. Amen. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, come on, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. So now he's just segued into, now this is not just about me, Paul. This is about you if you're willing to run your race. And how many of you know that in a race, in a marathon or in a sprint or in a 4x4 or a 4x800, if you're in track at all, I was in track as a high school person, so I learned a lot about racing. And this is the deal, is that in racing, no matter what race you're in, you better know what race you're in, because whatever race you're in determines the pace of the race. Come on, somebody. And so there's a race that every one of us has. And if you don't understand that you're in a marathon, you're gonna find yourself fizzed out at about lap one. Like, oh, this was a sprint. There is nowhere in the Bible that says it's a sprint. It says run, but it doesn't say run with a sprint. It says run. And so where am I going with this is that I want us to understand that every one of us are in a race. And Paul talks about this and he shares, look, I've finished my race. And how many of you know that Paul is wanting to let you and I know, let's finish our race. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Lord Jesus, we thank you, God, that you have put in all of us, God, this race to finish, God, this destiny to reach, this purpose to fulfill. And Lord, I thank you that your word never returns void, God, but it always accomplishes what it's sent to do. So Lord, I thank you that as your word is sent forth this morning, God, that it would fall on hungry hearts, God, that it would fall on hearts, God, that want to do and live out the will of God on the earth, Lord. Lord, I pray more than anything that you'd be made more famous today than you were yesterday. Come on, if you believe that, say amen. Amen. So as I was reading this, you know, one of the greatest tendencies for us is to get in a hurry, right? We got to finish our purpose. Everybody say now. Right? We want to finish our purpose now. But how many of you know you aren't going to finish your purpose until you step into eternity? Your purpose isn't for this short time period. And I think so many of us get eager and zealous in the church and we go, all right, I'm going to go do this. And then you talk to them 2 years later and they're not in church. They're not serving God. They don't think Jesus loves them. They've fizzled out of their race. How many of you know that's tragic? Do you know why they do that? It's because they've run their race entirely too fast. That the enemy has gotten them so caught up in running the race that they've forgotten to hear God's voice. And they've forgotten to allow God to set their pace for their life. How many of you know that you have a pace that's different than mine? When I was in track, there were people who ran cross country. Forget that stuff. I ain't got time for that. That's too, no, ain't nobody got time for cross country. I was a sprint guy. Like, get me short and quick, sweet. I'm over. Done. Right? See, if you don't know the race you're in, you're trying to keep up with somebody else who's got the pace of a cross-country runner, and you're a sprinter. Big problem. Yeah, some of y'all are like, yeah, I remember trying that. And so this is Paul, and he's saying, look, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. You don't want to know how you finish your race? Stay faithful. Quit being inconsistent. Stop being, well, I'm going to come to church today and next week I may or I may not. I'm going to lift my hands today. I may not next week. I'm going to read my Bible today and not read it for another 6 months. I'll read 3 chapters this month. And then I won't look at the Bible again for another seven more months. That's not faithful, church. Faithful is the same thing every day, doing it. That's how you finish your race. It's you being faithful. If you want to finish your race, Paul gives a really cool thing, and he says, be faithful. That's how you finish your race. And so just a quick story that happened to me. Alicia and I were on vacation, and we were staying in this hotel. We had gone to see some of our friends who are pastors on the worship team for a pretty large church. If you don't know who John Gray is, well, then you wouldn't understand this. But John Gray's a pretty prominent voice in the Christian world today. Probably one of the biggest voices in the world today. And he happens to be on staff at that church. And John had just taken over the church like 2 weeks prior to that. We were going to the service to go see our friends. And we had just had lunch with them or dinner with them and came back to the hotel. And I pulled out my hotel key to swipe it to get in the hotel, and it kept showing red. You know, it's got the green and red, and it kept not working. And I was like, what the heck happened? And you know, I'm standing out there. We've got my wife, we've got my baby. It's kind of, you know, it's dark. You're in a new area. It's kind of a little different. And I'm like, I'm gonna try this one more time. And I'm like, oh, come here. You know, when you're in outside and you see some people come, you're like, oh, they're gonna let me in. Well, they start coming right to it, and right before the doors are elevators. And it was like, psych, going in the elevator. I was like, thanks. I was like, let's just keep trying it for a second. I tried it, doesn't work. I was like, I guess I'm just going to run around the side of the building or go down the main entrance, and I'll meet you back around. And right as I started to do that, I saw another guy come, and I was like, maybe this guy will let me in. And so he keeps coming. As he comes closer, his shirt says Relentless Church. I'm like, this dude's got to let me in. I mean, he's a believer. And out walks John Gray. And he walks up to us, and we start talking. And he's, you know, he asked me about my wife and our kids and all that. He's like, man, we got to hang out for after church on Sunday after church. And I'm like, excuse me? And I was just like, how cool is that? That John Gray, who didn't have to acknowledged me at all. He could have said, hey, man, and just kept on walking, but he was willing to hear me out. And this is the crazy thing. I laid my head down that night to go to sleep and really didn't think anything else of it. And the Holy Spirit woke me up. And this is what he said. He said, Brian, you do realize that door was locked, and that locked door gave you access to favor. And see, why I say that is that so many of you have allowed a locked door to keep you. You think it's to keep you from something, but that locked door was actually keeping me, allowing me to walk into something that I would have never, ever walked into. Had that thing worked when it was supposed to, I would have walked in, we'd have walked into our, and we would have missed each other. And some of you all, your pace is when everything's locked and things ain't working, you just move on to the next thing instead of waiting for God to do something that he's in the middle of working. And I thought, how profound is that? That a locked door gave me access to something that shouldn't have given me access to. And what I'm saying this for is this, I'm wondering what locked doors are in your life right now that you're blaming God for. And God is saying, I'm trying to position you for something more significant. And you're complaining and you're trying to move around and you're trying to dodge something. And I'm trying to set you up for something. Right? It was a locked door that gave me access to him. That doesn't work in the world, right? We don't look at locked doors as something that gives us access to, but this is the kingdom. It's upside down. It doesn't work like everything else. So now we're going to pick up Paul's life, starting in Acts, where he had this radical encounter with God, who was a persecutor of the church, who now becomes a proclaimer of the gospel. And in Acts chapter 19, 21, it says this, and I wanted to kind of start at the end of part of one of his stories and then work backwards so that you understand Paul's story. Because see, it's irrelevant if you don't understand what Paul went through when he says, I have finished my race. Until you understand what Paul went through, you don't understand the significance of what he had to go through to say what he said. Because a lot of us look at Paul and we say, man, Paul, you are an inspiration, but you don't understand what he had to go through so that you could see him as an inspiration. And there are people in your life that they don't understand what you're having to go through. You don't understand what you're having to go through today, but God is refining you and he is creating a pace in you so that others can see the goodness and the faithfulness of Jesus Christ through your life. And this is what it says in 19 verse 21. It says, afterward, Paul felt compelled by the what? By the Spirit to go over to Macedonia and Achaia before going to Jerusalem. And after that, he said, I must go on to Rome. He sent his two assistants, Timothy and Erastus, ahead to Macedonia while he stayed a while longer in the province of Asia. What's the significance of that? This is the significance, is that Paul was led by the Spirit. Church, if you want to continue to stay in the pace that God has for you, you have to be in tune with the Spirit of God. You have to be in tune with the Spirit of God. Do you know what happens if you're not in the tune with the Spirit of God? Is that you preach this message 3 weeks ago instead of today. And it becomes irrelevant for you today because it was for today, not 3 weeks ago. Whenever I got this sermon and God really refined it, I was out at a prayer cabin 2 weeks ago, just out by myself, praying in the Spirit out in the woods. People probably thinking I'm crazy. And just praying and asking the Holy Spirit just to reveal some things to me. Do you know what I was doing? I was creating a pace for my life. I was creating, God, what do you want me to give to these people? Because how many of you know that this is a crazy thing, is that God loves you so much that he will put in me what he wants me to preach to you today because he knows what you're going through. And so Paul, you have to understand that Paul was so submitted to the Spirit of God that nothing else guided his pace. Hurry didn't demand him, demand didn't move him, the voices of all these other people didn't move him. The Spirit of God led him. And church, if you want to continue to fulfill the call of God on your lives, you've got to begin to become in tune with the Spirit. You have to begin to know the voice of God. Paul, if Paul could hear God's voice, if he could be led by the Spirit, so can you. You can be led by the Spirit if Paul was led by the Spirit. Right? This was after Jesus died. So whatever Paul has, you have. Whatever Paul has, I have. And he had the Spirit of God leading and guiding his life. What's the point? The point is this, is that God graces his pace, not yours. See, it's not his faithfulness that fails to come through. It's often our disobedience to his direction. It's not God that he's not faithful. It's because you didn't turn left when he told you to turn left. And it's reroute, 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 reroute. And you're like, what is going on, God? No, listen to the reroute. And then you'll be rerouted into his perfect plan for your life. Come on, don't outpace the presence of God for your life. God, if you don't fix this, I'll fix it. Church, if you could fix it, you would have already fixed it. See, the demands of others should never set your pace more than his voice does. So this whole sermon, you want to know how this whole sermon came out? I was sitting in my office studying and seeking God, and I got a text message and it said this. It said, I need you to do this. And I caught myself immediately disengaging from God's presence and disengaging from my study time to do what this person asked me to do. And I caught myself and said, whoa, hold on. I said, how am I letting someone determine what I'm going to do right now? And I wonder how many of you are allowing the voice of the enemy to say, hey, God's not going to come through. Isn't that exactly what happened in Genesis? God, the enemy said, God said? And he interrupted who they knew for what God said. And I wonder how many of us are being driven and being ambushed by the voices of other people who are telling us what we should and shouldn't be doing. Let me tell you, if God didn't tell you to do it, it's not time to do it. If God told you to do it, it's time to step out and do it. Amen? And so what you've got to do is you've got to step up and say, okay, God, I'm going to do what you asked me to do. This is your pace, not mine. You ever had a coach of your in track? There was coaches that believed in me and saw my ability. And they said, you need to do this. And they pushed me to do something that I didn't think sometimes I could do. Do you know what? That's what Jesus does is he sees the ability in you where you may lack insecurity, where you may be full of inadequacies. But the Holy Spirit is saying, I see what's in you and I think you need to run this race. Because if you don't get captivated by the voice of God, the enemy will tell you you're never good enough and you're never going to last and you're going to run your race and you're going to fail. Because at the end of the day, none of us want to run. We will never want to run our race and say, I'm going to run a marathon and you end at mile 13. Right? None of us want to be known for the person who started a marathon and didn't finish it. And that's what all of us fear if we're honest in here this morning, is to not finish our race. But I want you to know you will always finish your race if you will just constantly be led by the Spirit of God. Paul. Afterward, Paul felt compelled by the Spirit. He felt compelled by the Spirit. There's a scripture in Psalms 37:7. It says this. This is what some of y'all need to do. You need to do this. Write this down. Read it. Put it on your phone. And just confess it over your life every single day. Quiet your heart in his presence and pray. Keep hope alive. See, some of you aren't running your race because hope has died. You've allowed the hope that was in you that got you started in that race. Yes, I'll do God's will. Yes, I'll do. And then all of a sudden something happens and hope dies. Do you know how you keep your hope alive? Right there, it says it before it. His presence and pray. It's the only thing that's going to sustain you to run the race that God's called you to run. And then it goes on, it says, Quiet your heart in his presence and pray. Keep hope alive as you long for God to come through for you. And don't think for a moment that the wicked in their prosperity are better off than you. See, this is another thing that stops you from running your race is you start looking at the wicked. You start looking at the sinner and you start thinking they're having a better life than me. Are they? Are they? Church, Instagram will lie to you. Understand that's what we do. We've allowed the culture to define what's really successful. And he gives us a warning. Don't think for a moment that the wicked are more prosperous than you. Amen? So we see right here, Paul is being led by the Spirit. Right, if Paul's being led by the Spirit, that means everything that he runs into, everything that he encounters was intentional. right? I think that we think that a lot of times we have had a wrong theology of comfort as Christians. That we have allowed what we thought it was going to be to rob us from what it really is. And that if we run into problems, and if we run into trials, and if we run into situations, this can't be God. But as we've learned going through the middle, that there are things that we have not had developed in our lives. And unless we go through some of these things in the middle, he can't move us from there into the next season of our lives. So in chapter 17 of Acts, and then it starts in verse 16, and it says this. Paul was waiting. Some of y'all, you need to wait. Paul was waiting. So Paul was going from place to place, but God told him, the Spirit of God told him, Paul, I want you to wait. Can you wait? Can you wait? Waiting's tough. I mean, you hear how silent it got up in this church when I said wait? Some of y'all still trying to get the brakes to stop. Wait, because waiting is hard. Because waiting feels like we're not doing anything. But Paul was told to wait. And he says this, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was deeply troubled by all the idols he saw everywhere in the city. I wonder what would have happened if Paul wouldn't have stopped where he was told to stop. This is my point. Is that delay isn't the denial of a burden. It's the deepening of one. That the burden that Paul did not have for that city became a burden because he was willing to wait and hear God and allow God to put some things in front of him to see some things that he had not seen before. And there are things God is telling you to wait on because you're asking God, I want you to put a purpose in me. I want you to put a burden in me. And God is saying, you won't slow down enough for me to show you the burden that I have for you. But Paul was willing to wait. And because Paul was willing to wait, God was willing to put a burden in him that he would be able to begin to do some things in the city that he once wouldn't have done. Because then it goes on and it says this, he went to the synagogue to reason with the Jews and God-fearing Gentiles, and he spoke daily in the public square to all who happened to be there. See, he began to have something, okay, this is what I'm going to debate about. And actually, he goes on later and he starts talking about that there's this God that you all have in your city. It's called the unknown God. The unknown God that your city has is the God that I serve, and you need to learn about him. And because of Paul being willing to wait, there was this burden, and God in that, God gave him a burden. And when God gives you a burden, he gives you a word. And when God gives you a word, he gives you someone to speak it to. And when God gives you someone to speak it to, it's because they need your word. It's quiet in this Presbyterian church this morning. And so, I wonder how many of us are willing to wait. Because really, maturity, if you want to be a mature Christian, waiting is one of the great attributes of a mature Christian. This sermon could have easily been preached 3 months ago, but it would have been out of timing. It would have been out of God's will, I believe. There's a story in this book, which I recommend every person in this church get it, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. And there's a story that I want to read real quick. And it says this. It says the core spiritual issue in stopping revolves around trust. Right? If we all are honest this morning, the reason many of us aren't waiting is because we're not trusting. Quiet. Because it says this, it goes on, it says, will God take care of us and our concerns, even if we obey him by stopping to keep the Sabbath? And then there goes on to the story that I'm going to read, and just for a moment, see, I wonder how many of us are stopping and giving God time. The Bible says that when God created the earth, that he rested. I think if God rested, how many of us should be resting, but yet we're working and we're doing things and we're constantly engaging in movement because that's spiritual. But maybe God is asking you to rest because that's spiritual. Maybe God's asking you to wait because that's spiritual. And this is the story. It says this: a story is told of a wagon train of Christians traveling on their way to St. Louis to Oregon. They observed the habit of stopping for the Sabbath during the autumn. But as winter approached, the group began to panic in fear that they would not be able to reach their destination before the snow began. And I believe that I'm going to go into the story, keep going, but I want to address something, that a lot of times the reason that we don't wait is because of fear. Many of us have fear that God is not going to come through. But you need to answer fear back with the fact that God is faithful, that God is good. Because fear is going to come. Fear is coming at you. No matter what level you get to in your spiritual life, fear grows. Fear, when you get to this level of faith, guess what? Fear comes at this level. Fear it's never going to stop coming. So what you have to do is you have to learn to address fear with who Jesus says you are, with who Jesus says what you're going to do, where you need to go, where he's calling you to. And so this is the deal. So there's this whole group of people and they're fearful of that. They're going to get stopped in the middle of the snow and they're going to get trapped because they're not resting. So because they're resting, the snow's going to catch up to them is what their fear is. This is the deal. It says, a number of members of the group proposed they quit the practice of stopping for the Sabbath and travel 7 days a week. This caused an argument in the community until it was finally decided to divide the wagon train into two groups. One group would observe the Sabbath day as before and not travel. The other would press on. Which group arrived in Oregon first? Of course, the ones who kept the Sabbath. But both the people and their horses were so rested by their Sabbath observance that they could travel more efficiently the other 6 days. What is the point is this, is that when I trust God and obey his commands, he provides. At the end of the day, it is not your job to provide for your pace. It is God's job to provide for your pace. When God tells you to stop, you stop. When he tells you to move, you move. When God tells you to do this, you do this. When he tells you to do that, you do that. And all of those things are going to be done by my ability or your ability to trust his word. Amen? See, every race has a different race, a pace required. Every one of our races, there are some of you in here that you should be in the waiting season right now, and you're trying to run. Some of you are waiting and you should be running, and some of you are running and you should be waiting. In other words, what I'm saying is don't define your race based on my pace that I'm in right now. Because the pace that I'm in right now might be a different pace, and God has called me to wait before I take another direction, before I take another step. And so many of us, we have these people that we look up to, and at the end of the day, they are not the ones that qualify for you to move or not move. It's his presence that says that. If you need to move, you need to move. If you don't, you need to stop. And that's real hard, right? When you see somebody else going after something and they're doing something and they're championing their purpose and you're like, what in the heck am I doing? And you feel like I've got to start doing something. One of the most important things you can do is wait. But I feel like I'm not getting anywhere. Those people, when they took their Sabbath, they probably felt like they weren't getting anywhere. But what that was happening is that they were resting up for the next assignment. And there are seasons in your life where God is asking you to rest so that you can finish your race. I mean, how many of you know that at the end of the day, we read that first verse for a reason, because he finished his race. There is nothing more important, church, than you finishing your race. It's not about how much money you raise. It's not about how great your kids are or how bad your kids are. It's about you finishing your race. And if you focus on that, all those other things will begin to work themselves out. See, things are revealed when you slow down enough to become aware of your surroundings. This is what happened with Paul. Paul waited, And as he waited, things that weren't becoming aware to him became aware. He says, okay, this is the burden. These people are worshiping idols. And they don't understand that there is a real God that is living and alive. I've got to introduce them to him. That was the burden that God put on him. And had he not waited and said, well, God, I just need to move on to another city, he would have missed out on the opportunity of those people in that city. There are people in your workplace, you're saying, God, I need you to get me out of this job. And God is saying, I need you to wait. That I've got an assignment for you, that I've got some people that I need you to reveal the living God to. I need you just to wait. See, we can miss out on some things because we get in a hurry. Because we think that if we're not moving, things just ain't happening. Have you ever seen a hamster in a hamster wheel? That thing thinks it's moving. It's not moving anywhere. It's staying in the same cycle. And I think a lot of times we think because we're moving, we're moving. You're not moving, church. Just because you're moving doesn't mean you're moving forward. You may be exerting a lot of energy doing something, but what you're doing isn't the something you need to be doing. And so many of us get caught in this hamster wheel. Man, I'm doing something. I've been doing this. I've been doing that. And I've been doing, and you've got this list full of things that you're doing. And you get into serving Jesus because of what you do and not because of who you are. You get into this hamster wheel. See, movement doesn't always move you forward, church. Movement doesn't always move you forward. See, waiting is the trust that even in waiting, you're moving. Isn't that crazy that you actually could be moving while you're waiting? Some of us, we have a real hard problem with that, believing that we're actually moving and progressing while we're waiting. There's a scripture that I want to read as we close, and it says this: they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. It says, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In other words, they will finish their race. That those that are willing to wait on the Lord will finish their race. That is what it's saying. It is saying that if you will wait on the Lord will give you the strength to run your race. And some of y'all just need to wait. Some of y'all just need to allow the Holy Spirit to come up on you and empower you to run your race. Are you willing to wait? I didn't even get through all of my sermon this morning. Part two will be next week. And this is the deal. That every one of us are responsible for our race. Every one of us have our own race to run. But God's grace is given individually as well. God's given you the grace to run and be sustained in the race that you're in. Some of y'all say, man, I don't know if I can make it, and you're in this marathon. And as you break the corner of your purpose, all of a sudden you see that Gatorade cup, and they're waiting for you. And if you could just get to that Gatorade cup, you will be refreshed. What's my point is that my point is this, is that right when you think that you're not going to be able to make it again, God is standing there saying, I've got something for you. I've got something for you that you're about to be refreshed in a way that you never thought you could be refreshed. That this race that you thought you weren't going to finish, as soon as you get into my presence again, you're going to be able to step back out onto that track, and you're going to be able to run that race. That you see that hill up ahead, that I'm going to put some energy in you, and you're going to be able to climb that hill with tenacity, with purpose, with destiny, because I've got something for you to run. Come on, if you would, stand all over this place this morning. Jesus. Man, I feel so hard, heavy on my heart that it's like this burden that every one of you, you want to finish your race. I don't believe there's a single person in here this morning that would say, I don't want to finish my race. But I believe there's a lot of people in here who could say that there's a lot of things that have stood in the way of me finishing my race. There's a lot of things that I've allowed. There's people that have sent texts. They've put weight on me. They've called me. They've said this, that I've got to do this, that we've allowed outside voices to exhaust us to such a degree that we don't even want to come to church on Sunday morning to be refreshed. But Jesus is saying, I'm drawing you into a place and I'm going to refresh you, that I'm going to rejuvenate your spirit, that I'm going to breathe the life of God back into you this morning. Come on, if that's you this morning and you say, that's me, God, I need you to breathe your breath back into me this morning. If that's you, just lift your hands this morning just so I can know who you are. Come on, just by faith, just say, God, breathe the breath of God back into me this morning. Jesus, I want to finish my race. Come on, just begin to prophesy over yourself this morning. Say, Jesus, I want to finish my race. God, I want to finish my race. Lord, help me hear your voice. God, let me be sensitive to your spirit. That God, you would lead and you would guide me. God, that you would set the pace for my life. God, I receive your grace. Come on, say that this morning. God, I receive your grace. God, I receive your grace this morning to finish the race that I've started. Come on, every one of you this morning, you've started the race, but let's not grow weary in well doing. That Jesus is going to give you some grace to finish the race. That God is going to rejuvenate. He's going to give you eyes for your destiny, eyes for your purpose. That you're going to be able to see the things that you thought that you were never going to reach again. That God is pulling dreams off the shelf, that he's putting them back in your hand. And he's saying, you're going to run the race, church. You're going to run this race. Father, I receive your grace this morning. Come on, just say, I receive your grace. Jesus, I receive your grace. Thank you, Jesus, for establishing and reestablishing a pace for my life, God. That God, where I've been weary and I've been worn out, and God, I've been just inundated, God, with things. God, I thank you that you are all that matters. Man, I see the weight of people right now this morning. I see the weight just coming off. The weight and the demands of all this life, the stuff that everybody has put on you. And you thought it was something that you had to carry, and you're realizing, God, this is you. This is yours. This is yours, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Jesus, we worship you this morning. We love you, Jesus. But I will wait on the Lord, and he will renew my strength. Come on, you didn't think you were strong enough? Strength is coming. Strength is here. God, I thank you that you are strengthening their minds. God, that you are bringing out the clutter. God, that you are renewing their hearts. God, that you are renewing their minds. That you're giving them a passion, God. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just say, I receive it, Jesus. Come on, by faith. You're not seeing anything right now. You're receiving it by faith. You're saying, God, the word that you've said, I'm receiving it by faith. That God, I don't know if I feel rejuvenated yet, but I receive it by faith, God. That you had a word for such a time as this, and God, I take it and I receive it, God, that I am going to be rejuvenated, that I am going to walk in my purpose, and that I am going to live in the pace that you have for me. God, that I did receive your grace, that you are sustaining me. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just take this time. We honor you, God. We honor you. We love you. We thank you for what you're doing right now, even in the spirit, God, that we may not see at all. This morning you say, I've never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of my life. And I want to make him the Lord and Savior of my life. That I want to pray this prayer and really allow the Holy Spirit to do something in me. That maybe I've prayed the prayer, but I just prayed it and I never really lived it out. That this morning I want to live out the perfect plan that you have for my life. If that's you this morning and you've made this prayer, but you never have lived it out, you say, I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of my life. If that's you, if you would just slip your hand up real quick, you can set it right back down this morning. Say, I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for that hand. Come on, anybody else this morning, you say, I want to make Jesus the Lord and the Savior of my life. Thank you for that hand. I want you just to pray this with me this morning. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I admit that I'm a sinner, but I believe that Jesus died on the cross, that he rose again on the third day. So I ask you, Jesus, to become my Lord and my Savior. God, that you will establish the destiny and the purpose you have for my life. In Jesus' name. Come on, if you could, say amen. Let's give them a hand this morning. Come on this morning.